relationships, get out of people's lives in Jesus' name. If you receive it, just say, I receive it. If you don't, keep it. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that he gave us authority over demonic forces. That's in the New Testament, folks. Thank you, Lord. Help her gently. Give her time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me talk to you while they're ministering there. Mr. Eldred Morris went to heaven. And most of you know that. And some of you haven't been here so long to know that Eldred and Gladys were founding members of Victory Church. And so 22 and a half years with us. And so Brother Eldred was 93, or is 93. Now he's about 33. And so, but I'm telling you, that man was one of the most precious gifts in this house. In his 80s, he built that stage. When we first moved here, he was in here building stuff. He was climbing on a ladder on his house in his early on, I think when he was 90. And so this man kept going. And of course, tomorrow the service will be here. And please attend. This is an honor. And so we would want all of our members to be here. At 10 o'clock is the viewing. 11 o'clock is the service. It won't be very long. You can, and then we're going to feed those who are here a little bit of refreshments. And then some of us will travel to a little town called Ocala, where his glove will be buried. And so we invite you to do that as well. But please at least come at 11. Please come. Miss Gladys will be here, so we will keep it short for her physical's sake. Yes. And so, but it's going to be a wonderful time, and we're going to celebrate Eldred, who's so special to us. What a great man. What a great man. You know, they went to Christ for the Nations and did mission work, did ministry work, and just served God all their lives. And they served in this church. Giving his obit, I guess, right now. But he was the first, he was the guy who ran the greeters. They ran the greeters. In fact, they're one of the reasons why we're even here. Because I got it before we ever had a church. They invited me and Deb over to the house. And we went over there with Bill and Gay and Ron and Pauline. And we had a meeting over there. And then, and of course, Dean Lane invited us to their house, and we had a meeting there. And then there were some other meetings that happened at some churches here. But eventually, we turned into us.
Yep. Praise God.
So you can thank God for Eldred. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So please come. Yes. Please come. It's very important to show honor to this man of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we've already had church. That's good. Praise the Lord. God is moving. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you would just stand up, please, again. We're going to pray for America. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we lift up this country to you. And Father, we thank you that your hand is on America. We thank you, Lord. We bind every hindering spirit trying to work in darkness in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that this is too big to rig still. And we thank you, Lord, that America is great. And we thank you, Lord, also that President-elect Trump and his cabinet are safe in Jesus' name. And we just declare that your will be done. Not just what they're thinking, but your will be done in Jesus' name. And those that are fighting against the Constitution, we declare that they come to the light in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We want to stay on that, church. Darkness is trying to do, I'll just say, creep in with some creepy stuff. Anyway, we win. And I'm telling you right now, there is such power in the earth. The presence of God is moving. People are getting saved everywhere. They're baptizing people in troughs. People are marching like little armies over in other countries. People are getting saved. And that's what we're looking for. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:7, and we'll receive our offering today. 8:7, and then we'll go over to 9:6 after that. But praise God. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Now, therefore, as ye abound, y'all there?
Yeah.
Okay. As ye abound in everything, in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound to this grace also. Now, I didn't want to read through all the scriptures because I have a lot of scriptures in a moment. But the Apostle Paul here is writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them about how generous the churches of Macedonia are. And so he said that they went above and beyond in their giving. And so here he's telling these churches to see that they abound in giving. But now notice this. He says it's a grace.
Yeah.
It's a grace. Mm-hmm. This is not forced. It's a grace. And so he says, abound in the grace of giving. So, there, you know, there's a grace just for living our lives.
Right.
And there's a grace for living our lives for giving. And when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, in fact, chapter 12, he said that giving was a motivational gift. You remember over there where it tells you the talents, the bents, we would call them bents. Danny's administrative, that's a bent of hers. Jordan is a musician, that's a bent of his. There's talents that are actually in you. Right? They're in you. They're already in there. And then there's also callings, but there's things that you're just good at. There's things that you're just good at. Okay? So one of the things he's talking about here is that people can actually be good at giving. And so, but then he says to the Galatians in another letter, whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. Well, that doesn't just mean people use that. Well, that guy's bad, so he's going to sow that. He's sure going to reap it. Well, what good you do, you reap. This goes both ways. In fact, the whole kingdom of God is based on sowing and reaping. Not just finances, everything. How you treat people. If you judge people all the time, you'll be judged. Yeah, because you're bringing that on yourself. Whatever you're saying comes to you. And so you really want to watch out who you make judgments against, because it will end up not being good. But also in your giving, it will bring forth a multiplication. So what we know, and I'm preaching to the choir here, so I don't have to take too long, but we know that according to Malachi, tithe opens the windows of heaven. Hebrews talks about Jesus receiving our tithe. So it's Old and New Testament. And then so we also see that giving is the measure. It'll measure what you're doing and what comes back to you. And so now look at 2 Corinthians 9:6 there. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Now, the prosperity preachers didn't say this.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul wrote this.
Right.
So don't accuse me of being a prosperity preacher. I am. And I'm excited about it because it works. Because being a tither and a giver keeps you from being greedy. It keeps you from thinking of money just being yours. You're tied to the kingdom of God. And you honor him with finances, and then he honors you with finances. So, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. So in other words, if people, you're in a service and you don't sense that you're supposed to give, don't give. Nobody should be forced. You should do what's in your heart. You know, I guess I have to. You don't have to do anything. Everything's between you and God. You didn't have to get saved if you didn't want to. So this isn't a grudge. You shouldn't have a grudge about this kind of stuff. This is between you and God. But it says, or of necessity, it says God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, I want to put in on that. I want to put in on that. Now, we are actually those kind of people. We're always putting in on that and helping people. And we have a lot of finances that go out of here that help people all the time. So it's not just all sitting there for us, although we fix this place up, pay our staff, do things like that. But we're talking about the spiritual realm. We're talking about that. The Bible says in Galatians, if you sow to the Spirit, if you sow financially to the Spirit, you're going to reap good.
That's right. Yeah.
But if you sow to your flesh, meaning
right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
ain't doing it, then that's what you'll have.
That's right.
But it's your choice.
Yeah.
It's your choice. Don't be mad at me if I want to do the other. Amen. I'm not going to be mad at you. It's your business.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to hunt you down and find out what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. So, now listen. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So there's the cycle. But when you go on and read in that scripture, he actually says he gives you the seed.
Wow.
You don't even have to come up with the seed. And you don't have to use your bread to do it.
That's right.
You don't have to sow your bread. You pay your bills, but you sow a seed. Amen.
Amen.
And so God is able to do that. Now, I would circle that scripture if I were you, because it's a promise.
Yeah.
And it's telling you what to quote and claim. God is able to make all grace or make all sufficiency come to me so that I can abound. So when something comes up, I can say, I'm going to get to that. And then the Lord may say, you don't need to put in over there. Then don't. It's that easy. But when you do so, and particularly when you sow to givers, multiplication happens. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will men give it to your bosom? What does it mean, men giving to your bosom? Well, it just means that your pockets are going to get full. You'll get good deals. You'll get good business deals. Sometimes people just give something to you. So, but it works in a supernatural way. Amen. Plus, things won't break all the time. Praise the Lord. God is able to provide every blessing in abundance, and I will always have enough of everything and supply for every good work. Father, thank you for the tither that honors their God. Thank you for the giver. I declare that anything that stopped their harvest is released right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for the harvest in full measure. I command the gates of access to new doors of opportunity, avenues of success and prosperity, multiple streams of income and positive cash flow, highways to divine assignments and prosperity channels, for transition and deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers. The gospel's free, but it ain't cheap. It takes finances to do the work. And besides that, I'm just going to get in on what God's doing. And so if you would like to give via text message, you can give VCHL and the amount you want to give. Just text that to VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link, complete your gift, and it will be done. You can always also go on the web page, and there's a give button if you would like to give that way. Are we already out there? Hi. Praise the Lord. Okay, so God is good. He's so good. And so go over to Luke 1:5. God is good. He will bless you. He has blessed us. I tell you, since we started building those churches with Living Word, finances have just come. And we're sending it to them. We're sending it to them still. And, of course, we give to it's so fun because we get to give to so many people. It's just wonderful to get to do that. And one reason we get to do that is because this building is debt-free. So that's a whole big old payment that if we weren't debt free, we could just give that money. Yes. Praise the Lord. God is good. All right. Luke 1:5. You there?
Glory.
During the reign of King Herod the Great over Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah who served in the temple as part of the priestly order of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also from a family of priests, being a direct descendant of Aaron. They were both lovers of God, living virtuously and following the commandments of the Lord fully. But they were childless since Elizabeth was barren, and now both they were quite old. One day, while Zechariah's priestly order was on duty and he was serving as priest, it happened by the casting of lots, according to the custom of the priesthood, that the honor fell upon Zechariah to enter into the holy place and burn incense before the Lord. A large crowd of worshipers had gathered to pray outside the temple at the hour when the incense was offered. All at once, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, saying, standing just to the right of the altar of incense, Zechariah was startled and overwhelmed with fear. But the angel reassured him, saying, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you, for I've come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and he shall call his name John. His birth shall bring you much joy and gladness. Many will rejoice because of him. He will be one of the great ones in the sight of God. He will drink." I guess there's great ones in the sight of God. Just thought I'd point that out to you. "He will be one of the great ones in the sight of God. He will drink no wine nor strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even while still in his mother's womb. And he will persuade many in Israel to convert and turn back to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord as a forerunner with the same power and anointing as Elijah the prophet. He will be instrumental in turning the hearts of the fathers in tenderness back to their children and the hearts of the disobedient back to the wisdom of their righteous fathers. And they will prepare a united people who are ready for the Lord's appearing." Zechariah asked the angel, "How do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man and my wife is too old to give me a child. What sign can you give me to prove this will happen?" Then the angel said, "Hey, I'm Gabriel. I stand beside God himself. He has sent me to announce you to this good news. But now, since you do not believe my words, you will be stricken silent and unable to speak until the day my words have been fulfilled at their appointed time and a child is born to you. That will be your sign." Now, when we think about Christmas, we think about all the people involved in Christmas. And Zechariah and Elizabeth are two of them. They're in the very first stories. And then their child, John the Baptist, and then Joseph and Mary, Herod, shepherds, wise men, and the animals, the animals. We all think about that. We all have nativity sets and all that. We think about all these things. But on the supernatural side of that, we need to think about the angels and Holy Spirit. So I want to talk to you about today about angels. But I want to talk to you about this specific angel, Gabriel. Now, you know, what do you know about them? And how aware are you of angels? Do you know what the scripture says? Do you know what the scripture says about that you have one with you right now in this room? And probably two. There's actually one that never leaves you, and the scriptures point that out. We're not going to go back and look at it, but you have a guardian. And you probably have a second. And then there are some that function here with us corporately. And Miss Pauline saw angels, and now she's really seeing them. But she would tell me, "There was an angel standing over there." But maybe you've never seen one, and you might be a little numb. You might be a little too in your thoughts, or you might be a little bit, I'll just go ahead and say it, maybe a little carnal, and you just don't ever go there because you're just in your flesh all the time. But if you start getting in your heart and you start getting in the Spirit and you start connecting with the Holy Spirit, you begin to see that there's another realm working with us and the angels are in it. Now, this guy crosses, he comes down into the third dimension. So his particles appeared. He came down and he's just as real as Amanda sitting there looking at me. Okay. He was real anyway, but he actually stepped into our dimension, which they do. And you can read that over in Hebrews that they do. And I'll quote the scripture for that in just a moment. But so here he comes in here And so he appears to Zach that day. And but the angel reassured him, saying, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you, for I've come to tell you that your prayer for your child has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to name him John." So what's that mean? He's bringing him good news. So that tells you something about Gabriel. He's bringing good news. Now, but Zach has a problem. Zechariah has a problem here. How do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man. And my wife's old too, and she can't give me a child, so what sign are you going to give me? Now, church, listen, this guy's a priest. Okay? He's a preacher. He's a priest. He, on this day, he drew lot. They drew lots when one would go into the holy place. You know, you have the outer, y'all know the temple. There's the outer courts. There's the inner court. And then there's the holy of holies. So he's been chosen to go into the inner court and burn incense. Okay. So the guy's standing right next to the holy of holies. Right next to it. Where the presence of the Lord is. Am I making you think? You're right here, right now, in the presence of God. But you could be just as dull as you could be. I don't believe any of this. But a lot of people in here do. Why? Because they're awakened to what goes on in the spirit realm. Angels are real. And if we believe this Bible, even whether you feel it or sense them at all, you just need this to know they're real. Amen. Okay. I'm going somewhere. Now, so, you know, it just proves that there can be an angelic presence here, and you could be worshiping, but just be so numb, you're not even aware of it. Praise the Lord, you know. I mean, we're singing day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Now, we're just singing what he was doing. But what were you doing then? Man, I hope the curbside service had my groceries out there. I hope Pastor Roxanne don't preach past my curbside appointment. Or you could enter in and drop down in your heart. Amen. And so, you know, now just the appearance of an angel would make you want to trust to me. You would think. But you know, I have to tell you, it doesn't. You could sit right up in here and get a miracle and walk out of here and go, I don't know if I believe that or not. Because it's the word that brings faith. It's the word that going into your heart that brings faith, actually. But you'd probably be amazed. And you'd probably be wonderful. And you should believe him. You should believe him when he says, "Hey, I'm Gabriel." Now, here's what we need to think about that. Gabriel's not appreciate that. So I'm Gabriel. I stand beside God himself. And he sent me to announce to you this good news. But now, since you don't believe it, shut up. Right? That's basically what he's saying. This is going to be a sign to you. You're not talking. Because if you do open your mouth, you're going to ruin what's going on for everybody else. That's just good. We could just go home right there. I stand next to God, dude. Now listen to me. Now, this is where we can't glaze over what he said. Now, I'm going to tell you a lot of things and I'll make all the points at the end. But I just want to get this across to you right here. This is important. This guy's in there. He's doing his duties. Now, what he basically says when he says I'm old in Hebrew, he said this. I'm over 60. That's what he said right there. That's what it meant in Hebrew. I'm over 60. He's 99. But he just said, I'm over 60. And notice the angel didn't care. He just delivering the message. God doesn't. You can give God every excuse in the book, and he's not going to listen to you. He's still calling you to do what you're supposed to do. Now, so he's ministering the temple. So now what do we know about Jews? What do we definitely know about them that they study? They study all the time, right? Now, so here's the point. When he said, "Hey, I'm Gabriel," that should have lit something up to him. Oh, Daniel talked about Gabriel. Daniel. I know Gabriel. In fact, Michael and Gabriel, the guy who started this Magi thing. The wise men thing from way back in Babylon. They said those two angels appeared to Daniel in Babylon. He studied that. So when this guy said Gabriel, that was a language to him that should have made him aware that this was right. You get it? Okay. Now, Gabriel, yeah, I already made all those points. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, so what they say about Gabriel is that he was an angel appointed over conception. Now, he has four other names. I don't know if you know that. I'm not going to tell them to you. You can go look them up because I don't have time. This will get way too long if we discuss each angel. But I will tell you he's the angel of water. And I will tell you that he is the angel of good news and favor. And so they say that he was an angel that understood 70 languages. Because the Jews say that at the time there were only seven languages. 70 expressive sounds, and so he understood all of it. But I'm bringing this up for a reason. When he's speaking the language that Zechariah can understand, which in those days it would have been Aramaic. He was speaking Aramaic. Now the language, like we'd say, like the language of faith or whatever, the language point is, I'm Gabriel. Okay, connection. You're this angel. You're the conception angel. You're the one that brings good stuff. Okay. Now listen to me because I'm going to say something important to you. There are so many voices in the world. None of them have the right meaning unless spoken rightly to the right person. Do you get that? I'm going to say it again. Many voices in the world, none of them have right meaning unless rightly spoken to the right person. No word in any language can be meaningless, but must correspond to some thought. For the thought exists first, and the word is invented as an expression of it. Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about right here. How many of you are Texans? Y'all going to get some fajitas? Mom and them went down there a few days ago. It was really good down there at Ole's. Y'all going down there? I ain't missed it in a Sunday. Yeah, we're fixing to go. We're pertin' near ready. Is there anyone in here that didn't understand that? Come and say, I'm your mama. Mom and them. And we mix them up. We say, In Spanish, we'll say stupido. But that's really, right? Am I right? So we have all these words that mean nothing to people in Minnesota. And how about those people that say, what do you want to drink? Coke. Yeah. And then they'll ask you, what kind? Yeah. And so when I'm growing up, I say, I want a soda water. That's what we said. Well, my parents understood she wants something, she wants a drink, but then they have to ask you so you can get your Dr. Pepper. Okay, so, right, buddy, Dr. Pepper, yeah. And so, but we, see, now we understand that. If I tell you, I'm fixing to go. Now, on the other hand, East Texas. And if Chris were here, which somebody get a pink slip for him today, he would say, I'm fitting to go. I'm fitting to. I'm fitting to go. Now, I had a friend, Milton, from East Texas, and he called me Bo. So there's another thing I never understood on that. But fitting to. We're fitting to go get some fajitas. Now, some people don't know what fajitas are, do they? They don't know what they are, but we do. We know what they are. And we know if we're fitting to go, we're going to be pretty soon, pretty near time. And we know it's Perdinalis and not Pedrinalis. Yeah. And we know it's burn it, darn it, learn it. So y'all just understood everything I said. He should have known when he said, "Hey, I'm Gabriel." He should have gone, "Got it. Got it." Okay. Now, you say, "So what's the point?" I'm telling you that there's a way to reach any person if you speak their language. If you'll speak their language, you can reach any person. So you just have to know what to say. And some church, listen, we're so guilty of talking Christianese to people and they have no idea what we're talking about. So sometimes we just need to use words that people understand. Amen. So he says, "I'm Gabriel, I'm standing in the presence of God. You should know this." And so, you know, there are four angels that stand in the presence of God. Do you know them? Michael. Gabriel. Raphael. Uriel. Okay. And so what we have is we have Michael's on the right, Uriel's on the left, but Gabriel stands in the front. That's pretty amazing. So here's the deal. When Gabriel says who he is, this should be immediately locked in thinking. That's the point I'm trying to get here. Now, so he knows this stuff. I am sent to speak unto you and to show unto thee these glad tidings. So this is a guy who speaks glad tidings, good news. This is his mission. It's his title. And this should be, it should be some credit to him here. So now you're going to hear me say a scripture from Hebrews right here. Gabriel was one of the ministering spirits sent to minister to heirs of salvation. Is that a scripture y'all know? Yeah. His messages were messages of mercy, grace, love. He was not a minister of wrath or vengeance, but of favor. Now, his name, you know, y'all know what gematria is? That's the study of numbers in the Jewish, okay. His numbers mean merciful. Okay, so, oh, that was good, y'all. Y'all sounded like a class there. So in the Talmud, he had these other names, and like I said, you can look them up. I'll leave that to you. But I'm just trying to make you aware of this is a good news guy. He's a good news guy. So this is what we know. Unbelief makes the faith of God ineffective, right? And so God resents unbelief. He doesn't like it. He's like, "Are you kidding me?" So that's why this angel is probably going, "I'm Gabriel," right? So, but unbelief is evil. It's on the wrong side. So Zach's negative mouth has been shut up. On the other hand, we'll go over here to Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." You see him? He's a good angel. He's come with that favor thing again. If he shows up at your door, you're going to be happy. Okay, so the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, look, the King James says she was troubled. No, she was surprised. Now, she's surprised because men don't speak to women like that in these days. A man doesn't walk up to a woman and say, "Sister, you're favored," in those days. You didn't do that, okay? And so she's surprised. She's like, I don't know. But then he says, "Fear not, Mary." He calls her as if he knows her. So that makes her feel better. So he is now ministering to a saint here, right? And so angels encamp round about us. Okay. All right. So she gets a little more comfortable. And then he says something she could understand. She's comfortable enough to get it. Okay. So then he declares what's going to happen. We read that. And we've read it plenty of times. She responds with these words: "Be it done unto me according to thy word. Be it done unto me according to my word." You should circle that in your Bible and you should use that in your faith confessions. Whatever the promise is, be it done unto me according to thy word. Be it done unto me according to thy word. She received that word from the angel by faith. That should never get old with us, okay? So, same angel, different response. But I want to point out something to you. when Zechariah, with Zechariah, once Gabriel said, I'm Gabriel, the language was spoken that he understood. However, the first words that Zach spoke still took him down a different path. Can I tell you that first words matter? Because notice he didn't go, oh, okay, never mind. I get it. No, he's already stuck. He already said it. And now he's going to have to take a path for a little while. It's going to turn out good. It's going to turn out good. But because of those first words, he's going to have to pay. First words matter. With an encounter with God, and in an event of something that you don't like happening, first words matter. If you have a flat tire and you get out of your car and kick the tire and cuss the tire, first words matter. If you get out and go, well, praise the Lord anyway, then here will drive up someone and go, can I change that for you?
Amen.
It's true.
It's true.
First words matter. Well, I didn't like what they said today. First words matter. It'll throw you down a path. Now, so no matter the encounter, if it's an attack, first words matter. If it's a visitation from God, first words matter. Now I think that as a church, we understand the attack part a little better. Come on, church. But when we start having encounters, sometimes our first words are, I don't know about that. What are they doing in there? Am I right? Mm-hmm. So when you see things happening and you don't quite understand, just wait for some more revelation. Just tell the Lord, I don't really get that yet. But you'll show me in your word. Instead of just go ahead and making a judgment on it. Church, there are some things in the scripture, and my mentors and teachers believe them, and the jury's still out for me on some of it. I'm like going, I don't know, Lord, I'm glad this doesn't matter in the light of what we're doing every day and living for you, because I don't know yet about that, because we don't know everything. We don't know everything. Well, you need to preach the whole counsel of God. I don't know the whole counsel of God, but we'll do the best we can and be associated with teachers that do teach the truth, and we'll learn stuff. But I'm just telling you that that we need to watch what we just immediately judge or say, because first words matter. So you say, well, praise the Lord. I don't know about that, but how many times have we had that conversation? Just we're like three Jews in our office. Well, what do you think? Well, this way. Well, this says this. Well, okay. Well, let's look that up. And then so we're just. And then sometimes we get to the end of it and go, well, the Lord will show us. Amen. And we just keep going. Praise the Lord. Now, so when you see some things happening here in the future, I'm going to put out a warning to you. Don't be so quick to judge it. Don't be so quick to judge. You better listen to the Lord and watch what he's doing. Now, Luke 2:8, let's look at more angels. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which are to be with all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Okay, so now just from what we learned, we can probably make a good quality guess that this is either Gabriel or the angels that are with him, because they're bringing good news. Okay, so it shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and Word means thing. And they went to see this thing. Okay, so the Lord made known to us, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So now these angels came and gave them guidance, right? So you might say all the armies of the angels just flew in there that day, down with Gabriel to the heavenly and to be a heavenly choir and light up the sky, and they came with a message. But just to shake up your thinking, just for fun, I'll just shake up your thinking. Could it be? You see all these guys sitting around the campfire. They're watching over the sheep by the tower of the flock, not far from there, right? They're raising those sheep to lambs to be slaughtered, not very far away. They're out in the fields. They're not at the tower of the flock. They're going to go there. They're all sitting there, right? What would it be like if the angels are all already camped around the shepherds? Just for fun. Because there were some. They're already camped around. And then a whole bunch of other guys, a whole bunch of other angels show up. So when they all show up and they're talking to the shepherds, these other angels are hearing it too. So they all blow up in a party. Glory to God, it finally happened. Thank you guys for coming. I mean, and they're all just excited. And so angels met angels too. Yeah. Nobody ever thinks about that, but wow. The Lord just put that in my heart. Can you see it? I mean, it said a heavenly host joined in. Yeah. Yeah. So we kind of see them all coming down. Oh, it's a choir. Oh. Now, how about if the angels are standing around watching these guys? What are these guys going to do today? Okay. Let's go play some soccer over here while they're, you know, whatever it is they're doing. But when these guys show up, they're meeting another host. So now there's a whole host. And they're having a party. There's an angel party. Yeah, why are you telling us that? I'm just trying to get you to think about angels. That's all. That's all I'm trying to do is get you to think about how they're here with you right now. And when news is delivered, they may or may not know about it. I don't know. But they do. They will know. Now, so that was just for fun. And I hope you enjoyed it. Now, Gabriel had another important message here. And they all sang it. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now, you need to get this. We're about to close here. Not peace between men. Peace toward men. I've come to give you good news that God Almighty is not mad. That's what he's saying. Peace toward men. From God to man, church. From God to man. Men, obviously, still have some trouble getting along sometimes. But God has already made his decision. God sent peace himself to the earth. God will now withhold wrath. God will do things differently in this season of grace. Sin will be taken care of. Redemption will take place. Sacrifice will be made. And death will have no sting. That's what he's saying. An eye for an eye is different now. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's going to be different. There's going to be a parenthesis of grace. A time of grace. And I'm going to give it to you through my son. That's going to be born. And so, toward men. And so, this is a message that you could see clearly that is a good message for Gabriel to bring. So, God will be with us. Now, so as we close today, let's think about this. Number one, God's trying to get a message to you. He's trying to get a message to you. And he'll use whatever language you can understand. That's number one for today. Whatever message it's going to get to you, you may go, No, somehow, some way, you'll understand. If you have to leave here today and say, you know, I don't understand a word Pastor Roxanne said, but someone will help me. Then that they will. You'll get something in your language. Amen. All right. God will find a way. Number two. First words matter. Your response to divine encounters are important. And on the flip side, your reaction to a troubled situation is so important. I can't believe that happened to me. It happened to me last week. It's happening right now. It's the same thing. We have this every week. We have this every week. I wonder why. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And whatever you speak, whatever you have authority in this earth. And you see, that's another thing that religious people don't understand. They get mad if we use our authority and say, oh, they're just bossing God around. The Bible told us to do that. Listen. Well, I'll just read it to you because you may not have ever heard this before. And that was just a lie. So, Lord, forgive me because you've heard it a million times. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, it shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. That is not a word launched from your vocal cords. That's a word launched from the Spirit. It's an authoritative word. I'm going to tell the story again. Some people already heard it twice today. I'm going to tell it again. So Miss Deb's car got the hail damage, you know, and so they said, well, total loss. Jesus. Anyway, so they're going to give her a bunch of money for the car. And so the insurance company is like, okay, so we're going to send you the digital way of getting a check and all that. That's good. So we're going to do that. And so for some reason, and we asked them, and they had it right, but the email would never go through to Deb's account, and it wasn't in spam. It was nowhere. There was no email, but because I'm on the insurance, they sent me one. And so, I mean, this is going on for several days, long time. And they keep saying, well, Miss Field, I don't know. You're going to have to call back tomorrow. I'm going to have to call back tomorrow. Call at 5:30. Call back tomorrow. Call back. Okay, and so nobody's helping, right? And so Deb just flops down on the couch of my office and is like, ah. So I'd had enough. So I decided to do what I call draw a circle around it.
Yeah.
And so I said, this is enough of this pooky stuff. And I went after it with my authority. In the name of Jesus. And I rebuke and I just went after it. Well, while I'm slinging my arm around like this, and I get right to the end of my rebuke the devil off all Deb stuff, I hear this, hello? Hello? And I look down and there's someone talking on my watch. And I didn't answer it. It's just they're talking. And I look down there and I said, hello? And I'm like, did they just hear all of that? Oh, well. Because, you know, you want to talk people's language. So, yeah, anyway. But I was talking the devil's language. I'm getting him out of there. He understood that. He got to go because I have authority. So I'm talking millisecond after I rebuked that, Miss Alexander, we're going to go ahead and just let you sign off and we'll send Miss Field the check. Now, who does that? You think about that very thing. And I said, oh, okay, thank you very much. And I got off the phone and I went, yes! Now that's authority. Use your authority. I have to run some baby cows off my property almost every night. And I have to use my authority. Right? Am I right? Because they do pooky stuff out in your field, you know. But you got to use your authority. The people who own them don't use theirs. But I'm using mine. Because they're like, we're sorry. And I'm like, okay. But, huh? Oh, they're fixing it. Praise the Lord. Okay. We used our authority. What am I trying to? I'm just trying to tell you what our language is. You have authority in your words. It started in Genesis 1. Use that authority. A lot of times we just start sliding around and agreeing with what's going on. Well, you know, I'm going to have to wait until July to get this done. No, I don't think so. Right early. Okay, y'all receive that? Okay. Number 3, think and be aware of things beyond this dimension. Angels are encamped around about you. The Bible says they'll work for you. Hello? Okay, I thought someone was talking to me again. If Gabriel comes on my watch, Larry, you come catch me, okay? but there's specific angels that do specific jobs. Absolutely. Water, fire, whatever. But they'll do things like hang around your car while you're going down the road. There's a prosperity angel. Michael's a warring angel. He's in America right now. Yeah, he is. Well, how do you know that? I know. Because I paid attention to the Spirit. And the prophet said so, too. The one I know. And you saw it happen. You could just see it happening. You could just see the air getting cleared out. Things start moving. Judgment started happening. Because the prayers of the church... The prayers of the church. Americans got fed up, but the prayers of the church did this. Yeah. And so you better keep that authority up there because it ain't over.
That's right.
Amen. Okay. Now, so that's number 3. Think about things that are going on around you because miracles are going to turn up. And they're going to turn up big in these days.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Number 4. If angels are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation, then how are we going to get them to work for us? Psalm 103:20. How do we get them? Number 4, how do we get them to work for us? Psalm 103:20. You can just write that down. It says this, the Lord, bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So in other words, they hearken or pay attention when you pray the word. When you speak the word, when you say, I believe a mountain can be moved, the angels can move on that. When you say, by his stripes I am healed, the angels can help with that and move on that. When you say, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. It said that there's angels there helping. That's what it says in that chapter, that angels are there. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. Who's protecting you? Angels. But they're going to hearken to the voice of the word. When you go to Israel, and every Christian should go, when you do go, if you go with Miss Billy and you get on that bus, you're going to have a card in your hand every morning, and you're going to quote Psalm 91 every time. You need to do that often. You need to be quoting that quite often. Because when you quote it, you're in it. He who dwell, I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress. I say he's my fortress. So angels surround me. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now here's just the clincher. Listen to the language. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. Angels, ye bless the Lord. That excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Here's A, what I just told you was actually B. Angels will help you praise and worship. Angels will help you. They'll help you. They're like, well, why do I need any help? You do. Many of us here have been in situations where we were singing a song and we could hear other voices with us.
Yeah.
You've probably seen some YouTubes that where they've, you could play them and you could hear angelic voices coming in singing with the people and you knew it was different. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The inflections, the sounds, the clearness, the way it sounds.
Yeah.
And they'll also just help you. They'll just help you and get right in there on your inflections.
Yeah.
So they praise and worship God all the time. They're really good at it. And so they will intensify your worship. Okay? They'll intensify your worship. So when they intensify your worship, it brings encounters. So I'll give you an example. Jesse's in the third song. Hadn't sung the last song yet. And I heard from my spirit, "Man of God, man of God." And I knew it was for Larry. But that's all I had. But you, by faith, learn to step out on these things. And so when I heard that, I had to ask the Lord, should I stop Jesse right now? Which she would have stopped if I'd have said so. But he's like, no, hold it. And so while we're singing, I got one more line. And then the Lord reminded me of this statement, that change of pace and change of place can actually bring new perspective. That's why you need to go on vacation sometimes. Yes. Or go to your prayer cabin. Or go ride your motorcycle. Or go ride your horse. Or go. You need to check. You don't just do the same thing all the time. Yeah. Don't just get in the car and go to work and come home and do something different, because it helps your perspective. It clears things out. And so then you can hear God on a new level. Okay? So, in the business quote ministry that Larry's in, there's a place where people come and they change their pace, and it's a different place. And so, so God put all that together in my spirit because the angels were helping me worship. You receive that? So what am I telling you today? Angel awareness. That's what I'm trying to tell you with all the little benefits we talked about. Angel awareness. Be sure to be aware of what's going on in the spirit, because there's things going on in the spirit. And I will tell you, be aware. I know a lot of people are just demon hunters. There's a demon under every bush. Listen, just rebuke it and go on if you notice something. Or they go, I bind that in Jesus' name. You don't have anything. You know, because people can get strange. Amen. Or have a religious spirit, or have a... People have strange thoughts, and religious people, you'll notice they're going to say something judgy to you. They'll always say something judgy. So just love them and forget it and go on. But they always have that judgy thing. Well, woman preacher, or prosperity message, or do all your people quote scriptures? Well, I hope so. But they're living them. Praise the Lord. So you just have to watch out for that. Now, some people aren't saying it because they necessarily have a religious spirit. They just heard it from a religious person. That's all. So give them a break, because they just haven't learned yet. It's okay. So now, let's close. Angels are available. They move in accordance with the spoken word. And as we worship God, be aware. In fact, stay aware at all times. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Y'all get anything out of this today? I just wanted to kind of have fun with that and remind you. And listen, don't be mad at people. Everybody's at a different place in their learning. And some people have been brought up in places. I was brought up in this place where I didn't believe anything we believe right here. And I had to get myself in neutral and start listening to God. Because we were brought up that none of this. I mean, they told me when I was 20 years old, do not go down to that other church. They're speaking in tongues down there, and tongues are of the devil. So I went down there. Because I already knew that something was drawing me to more of God. And boy, I'm so grateful to this couple that came to town, and just love them to this day. They came to town and they said, no, they were out of the Pentecostal church and we're just coming into what we would call non-denominational. And they preached it to me, and I heard it, and I just said, I think that might be right. And so we took it home. And we said, well, let's pray about it. And we prayed about it and we went back. And then we went back and I was actually pregnant with my son. And so everybody from our Baptist church was getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the end of the charismatic movement. So they, and so I'm like, you know, and so by the way, at 8, I had asthma all my life. This is for somebody, had asthma all my life. I knew the doctor let me in the back door all the time to give me the epinephrine or whatever it was, the shot that they used to give, the EpiPen and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you had to get a shot back in the old days. And but so at 8 months pregnant, I had an asthma attack. It was bad. And my little pastor came over there, and he laid hands on me. And immediately I could breathe. And now I'm this old, and I've never had another one. Never, never. And then right after Toby was born, which, bless God, Toby means the goodness of the Lord. Right after Toby was born, I went in there, and they prayed for me, and I went, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And 2 weeks later, the spirit of prophecy came on me, and the gifts of the Spirit started working. So all you got to do is give God a little open door, and he'll teach you. And then when I came into the Word of Faith, because we didn't believe that either. We didn't believe in that. And so when I came, and they said, the Lord told me, Brother Hagin's right and you're wrong. I said, okay, I'm going to open that door a little bit. And I opened it. And I'm here today to tell you that I'm debt free. My cars are debt free. My house is debt free. My church is debt free. I'm a big giver. I get to give what I want to give. Our church gets to give what we want to give. And we can use our faith to get what we want. And it happens. And it's God gets all the glory. And by the way, our relationships are good. We're not all fighting each other. And husbands and wives in here aren't fighting each other. If y'all are, just straighten up. Why? Because we use our faith to love one another.
Right.
We use our faith. We can live good. We're promised days of heaven on earth, Jess. We're promised days of heaven on earth, so go ahead and have them.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe I will.
You believe you will? Just go ahead and take it. Just have some heaven on earth.
You
can. Amen. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
People are like, well, you know, don't ask God for anything. Just get your needs met. Excuse me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Amen.
He will meet my need, and then he'll meet my want.
Yeah.
Here's the secret. We don't have to ask for crazy stuff.
Right.
We can ask big,
right.
And we should be asking big.
Yeah.
It should be impossible, but it should be something that's aligned up with God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But good news is that everything that's aligned up with God is fun. Yeah, well, he won't want me to have a boat. Yes, he will.
Yeah.
Well, he won't want me to have one of them four-wheelers. Yes, he will. Well, he'll probably take my motorcycle away. No, he won't. If Brother Jerry was here, he could tell you all about that.
Amen.
No, he won't. He started motorcycle groups that actually went around the world and ministered to people.
Yeah.
Hey, Ron did rodeo ministry. And he don't take your horse away either. He won't take away the things you love, and he won't send you to Africa if you don't want to go. Desire will come. He's a good God, church. And he's given us a happy Christmas. So don't let your thoughts run anywhere else but having a happy Christmas. Having a happy celebration this year. Because this is the year when we roll into 2025, we're going to see more heaven on earth than we've ever seen. Because heaven, the age of heaven is rolling into this age. And so you can expect it. So I hope you like to see people get healed. I hope you like to see people get saved. I hope you like to see people get miracles. I hope you like to see people repent and get out of the bad habits and the things that's had control of them. If they get free, I hope you want to see that because you're about to see it. It's happening in this earth right now. I hope you want your grandchildren to have a good life. Because they're going to have one because of what happens in these next few years in this great awakening. We're either going to rapture or they're going to stay here and do very well until the rapture comes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.